College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by newly minted UConn head coach Dan Hurley. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And audiobooks are great for helping you be a better you, whether you want to learn something new or get motivated. You can check out books like The 4-Hour Work Week or How to Be a Boss. Audible helps you listen to more books by making it easy to switch between devices. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and listen at any time, even if you cancel. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/CH today. You can browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. Go to audible.com/CH today or text CH today to 500-500 to get started. And we're going to get into plenty of news and notes from around the world of college basketball coming up after we talk to Dan Hurley. But as we continue right now with our new coaches series right here on the College Hoops Today podcast, my million-dollar question going into this interview with Dan Hurley is, what happened to UConn? Because 4 years ago, we were celebrating the fact that UConn had won its fourth national championship since 1999. 4 years ago, Kevin Ollie was a guy that was turning down NBA jobs and opted to stay at his alma mater and keep UConn basketball on an upward trajectory. So what has happened? How did a head coach that led a program to a national title become unemployed in just 4 years? In my opinion, and I said this on multiple forums throughout the college basketball season, whether it was television, print, or right here on the College Hoops Today podcast, for me, when I looked at UConn, it was a player issue. It was a talent issue. It was a player retention issue. You look 2 years ago, UConn had an elite recruiting class and had several top 100 prospects. Altari Gilbert, a McDonald's All-American. Juwan Durham, a top 100 prospect. Vance Jackson, a top 100 prospect. And Steve Enoch, a top 100 prospect. Altari Gilbert has missed each of the past two seasons with a shoulder injury. And the other three players all transferred after their freshman season in stores. That is what you call a player retention issue. It comes down to players. It comes down to talent. And one of the things that I saw UConn do under Kevin Ollie was I saw UConn, a program that had pros on top of pros in the NBA, rely on fifth-year transfers to build a program. You can't do that if you're trying to win a national championship. You can't do that if you're trying to get to the Final Four. Something that UConn did four times under Jim Calhoun from 99 to 2012. Can UConn get the brand back? Can Dan Hurley be the person to help UConn get the brand back? The aforementioned head coach tells us next, coming up on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Rhode Island was the class of the Atlantic 10 in each of the past two seasons, went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments, won a game in the Field of 68 both times, but their head coach has stayed in New England, but went to the program that has defined Northeast basketball over the last two decades. That is UConn. He is Dan Hurley. He is now a guest on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein for the first time as Huskies head coach. And Dan, what do you think your reaction would have been in 2010 when you took the Wagner job if somebody told you 8 years later you'd be the head coach at UConn?
Obviously, John probably wouldn't believe it. even prior to that, it's, you know, just as a, you know, as a high school coach, kind of, you know, working in admissions and development and, and teaching, you know, World History II, just, you know, a little bit over 8 years ago. It's been, it's been a heck of a journey, and I've loved the places that I've been able to, you know, coach and impact kids. And now, you know, to be here, you know, at UConn is certainly a humbling experience.
What's the biggest way you think you've changed since you became a college head coach when you took that post at Wagner?
I just think I've, you know, been able to just mature and you know, and get better, you know, on the job every year. You know, I take a, you know, a learner's mindset every day. You know, I think that, you know, getting into this, you know, getting into the profession at the college level, you know, I just had the mindset that, you know, every year I was going to get better as a coach, as a leader, you know, as an educator for these kids. And, you know, the aspect that I've, the aspect of this thing that I've probably worked the hardest at is, you know, just trying to, you know, use, you know, use my emotions as a positive in terms of, you know, day in and day out, kind of driving the players, you know, during practice, during weight sessions, kind of use that emotion and energy, to make sure that our working environment practices at a high level. And then, you know, game night, you know, try to reel that in a little bit, especially, you know, especially with the officials, just try to be a more composed leader.
You know, there were people in real estate probably 10 to 15 years ago when the market was a different place that used to fix up houses and then flip them. That's kind of what you do with college basketball programs. You took over a program that was decimated at Wagner. 2 years later, you win 25 games. The same thing happened at Rhode Island. 5-6 years later, you're in the NCAA tournament. Why do you think you're so comfortable and maybe your best in a rebuilding type situation?
Well, you know what I do. I like to fix things. You know, maybe it's because I went through some difficulties, especially in college, and kind of had to fix myself a little bit. So maybe that's become part of my personality because I went through a lot in my playing career, and you know, I was. I was part of a coaching staff at Rutgers that was fired, and had to head to high school and do it a different way. But it's just I love challenges. I love getting into a program and looking under the hood, and and then identifying the players that you need to nurture and go through the healing process with and develop a relationship with. In a bond, I love getting into a program and identifying, the talent that you can build with that's there. I love the challenge of putting together like a great staff that's gonna fit the program that you're at, and then, obviously the recruiting part, like getting into a new program and selling a new vision on a new group of kids.
You know, Dan, one thing that you've been very consistent about since I've covered your teams is that the microscope that you've dealt with since a young age has always been very, very apparent. You obviously had a famous father. You had a famous brother. And, you know, one of the things that's really come to fruition the past couple of years is so many people that were in the spotlight at one time in your life are now giving you kudos for your success. Your brother has said, you know, time and time again that 60% of what he does at Arizona State practices, your brother Bobby, he learned from you. Do you feel right now that you are the head coach at UConn, that maybe for the first time, instead of pushing a boulder up a hill, you can take a deep breath and feel like you're on a level playing field?
Yeah, I think, the experience of, having now, been a head coach for 8 years, in Division I, and to have taken two programs from, maybe historic lows to the best years in program history, record-setting years at both Wagner and at Rhode Island, you just have more confidence, as time goes by, as you achieve more, as your program becomes more respected, as the players that you recruit and develop go on to bigger things in their careers. And I've been fortunate enough to work with some great people like Bob. And, as Bob says, 60% of what he does, we did together at Wagner in Rhode Island, will, probably, I learned a lot from Bob along the way, and I probably do, 70 or 80% of what I learned from my dad.
UConn head coach Dan Hurley joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Dan, it's ironic. We have you on right now as a guest as UConn's new head coach. 4 years ago, this program won a national championship. You've been on the job roughly a month right now. In that 3 to 4 week period, as you've dissected what led to the downfall, what are the biggest things you think you need to remedy right now at the program you currently preside in?
Yeah, whenever you get in and take over a program where, coming off of a difficult season or two, usually it starts with the culture, the environment. That the players are in terms of, changing that, developing more of a hardworking culture, a greater, dedication to doing all the right things, going to class, being on time, for study hall, sitting in the front row, what's your energy level like in the weight room? Are you getting, 700-800 shots a day? It's always the culture, it's the work ethic, it's the working character of the group. And, that's the first thing as a coach when you come in that you're trying to get right. And, but before you can kind of fix that, you got to build relationship, build relationships with the guys that are here, the Jalen Adams, the Josh Carlton, Tyler Poley, you've got to get to know these guys before you can really, start to make an impact and set a new standard.
Well, I grew up in the Northeast, as did you. And really, when you think about the formative years of college basketball, probably for both of us, the brand that was above everything else was Connecticut. How do you get the brand back?
Well, I think you get it back, obviously, here and by changing the culture and mindset of the players, in the program, you get those guys feeling good about themselves. You get UConn back by going out and hiring an outstanding staff, which I think that we were able to do. You bring the brand back by getting out to those future recruiting classes 2019, 2020, and getting them excited about what this program is. I mean, this program is one of the great college basketball brands in the last 20 years, if not the best, with the four national championships. People, people aren't going to lose sight of that, when you just come off of, two tough years. I think when you bring kids here on campus and they look up in the rafters and they see those four banners, and they see the huge number of first round picks and still I think 7 or 8 guys currently playing in the NBA with several other guys now in the media in and around the NBA. UConn is as big a brand as there is in college. And, it's about, I think, just re-energizing it and re-educating it about, what UConn has meant to college basketball.
Now, the big difference in UConn right now versus the heyday under Jim Calhoun is UConn is no longer a part of the Big East. If Dan Hurley is face-to-face with a 4- or 5-star prospect and is faced with the question that, coach, I'm not sure if I want to play in the American Athletic Conference, what will your response be?
My response will be it's a great high-major conference. Just with the American right now, Cincinnati, 2-seed in the NCAA tournament. Wichita State obviously has been Wichita State, for the last, bunch of years. One of the best programs in the country. Houston, Houston was inches away from being a Sweet 16 team. It took a miraculous shot for a Final Four, for a national championship runner-up, to beat them. SMU has always been strong. Memphis, Temple. I mean, you're talking about some great, great programs, that reside in the American. And, with UConn, the non-conference opportunities that we get to play, the tournaments, the home and homes versus the Arizonas, the Villanovas, you know, UConn brand carries a lot of weight, and it's in our estimation one of the biggest stages you could play on in college basketball because of the history, tradition, the fan base, and what UConn stands for.
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up that particular area of your job because scheduling for a long time at Rhode Island was a major struggle because nobody wanted to play you that had cachet that could move the needle. What is it like right now, after so many years of struggling to get quality games at Rhode Island, to have a situation at UConn where every year before conference play you're going to play the best of the best?
Well, let's just say I have a lot more time to kind of work on other things. You know, scheduling at the Atlantic 10 level. You know, the Atlantic 10 is such an underrated league, and the coaches and teams are so tough. It's such a chip on your shoulder league that no one wants to enter home and homes. You know, with programs or teams that are, you know, in that league, and you know, it was frustrating and time consuming, and you know, you walk into a situation here where you know, your first day in the office. You know, your schedule is done for next year, and it's exciting games, you know, and kind of a real sexy schedule. So gonna have a lot more time to a lot more time I can invest in recruiting and in my own development as a coach.
UConn head coach Dan Hurley joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, Dan, you've made Wagner a national program. You won a game at Pitt when you were at Wagner. You've also done the same thing at Rhode Island, winning back-to-back NCAA tournament games. But those programs, with all due respect, was off the radar. What is it like for you now stepping into the fishbowl that is UConn basketball and almost going from managing, let's say, the Kansas City Royals or the Milwaukee Brewers to managing the Yankees?
Well, in either, you know, I've spent my life, you know, as a Hurley, growing up in Jersey City in particular. You know, we've it's a position that, you know, that I'm really comfortable in. You know, whether it's as a player or as a coach, it's always been, you know, the highest of expectations around me. You know, Bob said obviously the same experience, you know, being the son of a legend in New Jersey high school basketball, and you know, even on a national scale. So you know, I've never hid from expectations. The places, you know, that I've coached and developed programs, you know, I tried to create, you know, at times even unrealistic expectations, because that's really when I'm most comfortable is, you know, when people thinking highly of the place that I'm in, and you know, that excites me. I want to be at a place. You know, losing that game to Duke in the NCAA tournament, that wasn't a great feeling. You know, for me, I want to be in a place where I feel like I could compete with the elite of the elite in college basketball.
Well, and you obviously have been able to do that at UConn when you look at past years. Now, the team that you inherited has had a culture of losing the last two seasons. Regardless of wins and losses, what are the biggest goals for you yourself with the team that you inherited for the 2018-19 season?
Yeah, I would say, you know, to be better, you know, to have a chance to be better than we were last year. You know, obviously, it's important to me to show improvement, you know, with the team. But, you know, I would say it's, you know, something that's, you know, maybe harder to quantify. It's just to, you know, to have opposing coaches that, you know, are watching film, either preparing for us or in cross scouts, to have them when they turn on that film to have respect for how hard we play, you know, how unselfish we are, you know, how determined and committed we are to winning. Just that they see a strong culture out there of, you know, five guys and an energized bench that are all about winning and pulling in the same direction, and that, you know, that they could see kind of the foundation of something great being built.
Do you have any early impressions of the roster you inherited from a personnel standpoint based on what you've seen through the first couple of weeks of workouts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some guys here that that are excited to, you know, to change the narrative maybe around their career and legacy here, like a Jalen Adams, you know, who obviously got off to a, you know, fast start here his freshman year and was a highly sought after recruit, and you know, he's a potential player of the year in the American if he's able to, fully dedicate himself and be fully committed to doing everything right, getting his body right, sharpening up his game, adding a consistent perimeter shot. He's the type of guy, if you're going to have a year and kind of come out of nowhere, he would have to, play like the draft pick that people projected him to be. And then you have some young guys in the program, like a Josh Carlton, who's, a young big that has a chance to, establish himself, as one of the better young bigs in the conference, next year. So there's some pieces here that you're excited to build with. I know that it's, and all Tariq Gilbert too, guy that, probably a different narrative surrounding the program if that guy was healthy the last 2 years. So, he's looking good. His rehab from the shoulder, is on schedule. And I know he's a guy that, we'd love to see, active, for a majority of the season.
Are you planning now moving forward that Tariq Gilbert is going to be a part of things next year for UConn based on the medical information you've received?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's some time away from being able to get back on the court and do things with basketball. But, by all accounts, the surgery has gone well. He's a great kid, incredibly hard worker, very, very smart. And he's absolutely attacked his rehab. Everyone surrounding the program feels as though, this guy's going to be healthy and ready to go.
Dan, you've obviously referenced the 2019 and 2020 recruiting classes as what is going to be, obviously, the foundation of your legacy at UConn. What specifically are you looking for in those classes that, obviously, you're going to attack coming up in a couple of days as the recruiting period really heats up?
I think, positionally, that's something that we're obviously still kind of working ourselves through, getting to know this roster, seeing how the rest of 18 is going to play out for us. But really, it's about getting the type of talent and character, that's going to get this thing back on the road to the level where it once was. To get the type of talented players that are representative of the type of players that have played in this program in the past, the Kemba Walkers, the Andre Drummonds, the Ben Gordons, the Okafors, recruiting that real talent, that was about winning, that put this program on the map, that's the quality that was established long before me here, and that's the quality that we intend on bringing in as a staff in 19 and 20 and beyond.
Now, you've obviously followed UConn your entire life in basketball, and they were in the NCAA tournament, a couple of years ago. They won a championship in 2014, but even though they won a championship in 14, they went as a 7 seed. How long do you think it's going to take for you to make UConn look like UConn again?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put it on a timetable on it. There's obvious challenges coming off the last couple of years. I hate to put the word rebuild on it because, you don't want to put that label on where you're at here. Focus is kind of just on that next day, getting these guys on the court, in today's individual workout, to have a great day on the court. Obviously, if you're able to, get more out of these guys this year than they've shown in the past, get some good additions, you could maybe change the narrative, that surrounds year one. And then beyond that, you've got to be able to recruit the right type of people. The reason why it worked for us at Rhode Island was because we were able to recruit, above our league, obviously, with the guys like E.C. Matthews and Hassan Martin and Jared Terrell. But, probably the bigger reason was that with that talent came a very, very high level of character and a strong desire to win. And, so in recruiting, you not only got to get the talent right, you've got to kind of get lucky and get, just great people that could speed that clock up for you.
You know, UConn obviously was made a national program because of Jim Calhoun, and I know Coach is still, you know, on campus a couple of days a week, but you also have a very close relationship with George Blaney, who was obviously Coach Calhoun's top lieutenant for a long time. How much did he play a role in obviously the reverence that you had for UConn and obviously the reverence that you grew to love with coaching?
Yeah, Coach Blaney was you know, when I was going through my process of, you know, deciding, you know, what I wanted to do, you know, Coach Blaney was one of, you know, just a handful of people that I spoke to between, you know, losing to Duke on Saturday in the NCAA tournament and, you know, accepting, you know, the job at sometime, you know, Wednesday morning into or, you know, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So, you know, Coach Blaney was a godsend for me at a time in my life at Seton Hall when I was struggling with off the court issues and you know, failing to live up to expectations for myself in my career there. And as Coach Carlissimo left, you know, Coach Blaney came in and it really helped fix me and gain perspective and learn to love the game again. And my conversation with Coach about UConn and the support here and Coach Calhoun and how he did it and his belief that I could get UConn back up to the top of that mountain again, you know, that played a big role in me having having the confidence to come and do this.
And in the 3 weeks to a month that you've spent on UConn's campus, how similar is Coach Calhoun to your father?
Amazingly similar. I've said that before. Amazingly similar. You know, the thing from talking to Tommy Moore was like, you know, going to a road game at UConn with Coach Calhoun, you know, the players are really, really comfortable because he was just such a tough, competitive coach that he almost had this feeling like, you know, hey, we're with Coach and he's tougher than anyone in this arena. You know, like the guy that's leading us into battle is the toughest guy of the 20,000 people in here. And I always felt that way about my father. I felt like the team, you know, both teams, you know, St. Anthony and UConn were obviously incredibly well coached and tough, but all about winning. And they were like attacking, aggressive teams that dictated the terms of the game. And then obviously their sideline demeanor, it's pretty spot on.
Final thing for me, Dan, and you know, there was a couple of coaching changes in the American Conference, you know, this off season, and you know, two of the primary brands made changes, UConn and Memphis. For me personally, in covering teams that, you know, make the NCAA tournament on an annual basis and trying to look at it from a big picture perspective, I've always felt that if UConn and Memphis could get back to being like UConn and Memphis, then the American Conference could get 4 to 5 teams in the NCAA tournament on an annual basis, and which is obviously comparable to some Power 5 leagues. How much do you think that could be the narrative if obviously, you know, Memphis continues to recruit like they have and you guys have the type of recruiting classes you expect to have in the next 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I probably even, you know, throw Temple, you know, into that mix as well. You know, Temple has been, a staple in March. Coach Chaney, you know, Coach Dumpf, obviously, you know, Aaron taking over there, and Penny at Memphis. I mean, you know, with UConn and Memphis and Temple, you know, programs like that, and the American doing their job and getting to the level that, you know, the program's been in the past in terms of the tradition and history, it's obviously going to help elevate the league, beyond the programs like the Cincinnati's and the Wichita States and the SMU's, you know, that have been, and Houston that have been doing their part for the league. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Memphis and UConn in particular have this amazing tradition and lineage of great coaches, great teams, NBA players. Memphis and UConn doing their part is certainly going to help elevate things.
Well, Dan, that starts with great recruiting. We know that kicks into high gear later this week. Thanks for a couple minutes, and best of luck on the recruiting trail.
John, thanks, man, and it's excited to get back on with you today.
We'd like to thank UConn head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you, when shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Anonymous 974, and it's, John, what kind of monster is Memphis making? I got to tell you, I've been extremely impressed by the job that Penny Hardaway has done on the recruiting trail. He has obviously got the recruiting aspect and the ability to get players down to a T. People said this would happen. Obviously, if he was hired as Memphis' head coach, will he be able to coach? Will he be able to run a program? We will be able to find out towards the middle of next season, and we are endeavoring, by the way, to get Penny Hardaway here on the College Hoops Today podcast in the coming weeks. Our next question comes from Mike Kiamentowski, and it's, John, how will Virginia Tech fare in the ACC next season? Look, I talked about this last week. I think, you know, when you look at Virginia Tech right now, you look at a team that has a large returning nucleus back. They've got a veteran point guard in Justin Robinson, and they've got a veteran coach in Buzz Williams. To me, Virginia Tech is a top third team in the ACC. Now, again, want to continue to remind you to send your questions to me. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. I will get to a couple every week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast. And now let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the augmented border war. Over the weekend, Illinois transfer Mark Smith committed to Missouri. This is something that you see rarely happen in college basketball. A kid who was highly touted out of high school commit to a program and then transfer and commit to the rival. Illinois-Missouri with Mark Smith as a member of the Tigers will be fascinating after he sits out next season. Nugget number two, Swiderman. I watched the Nike Hoop Summit on Friday night from Portland. I watched, obviously, in the confines of my own home. The game was played in Portland. Loved what Villanova incoming freshman Cole Swider showed. Seamless transition for this kid on the main line. Great ball mover, great shooter, great scorer. Nugget number three, fact, not fiction. Recent NBA drafts are averaging 13 foreigners taken in the top 60 and 13 seniors taken in the top 60. That means only 34 spots for all of the underclassmen who have declared for the draft. Right now, that number is over 100. Again, the deadline for underclassmen to declare for the draft is April 22nd. Nugget number four per class. I have so much respect for Gonzaga's basketball program. Rui Hachimura and Killian Tilly opted to return to school. How did they announce it? A simple press release. In a day and age where kids are constantly looking at social media as a platform to get attention, Gonzaga did it the right way, the class way. No bells and whistles, just a simple press release. And nugget number five, the updated Jimmy V Classic. Per multiple sources, Florida is replacing Indiana in the 2018 Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden. They will face Virginia. The other game, Oklahoma-Notre Dame. So the doubleheader now at the Jimmy V Classic in December, Florida-West Virginia, Oklahoma-Notre Dame. We'd like to thank UConn head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.